impossible.
Phil Mickelson wins his third Masters title. Wow. The lefty needed a boost, and he got it as he has been through a rough year many can relate to. How prevalent breast cancer is becoming in this nation. His wife suffers from it, as does his mother. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. This is Kate Delaney here at the helm of America tonight. Coming up in this hour, we're going to talk more about the nuclear situation and the big bad summit that starts on Monday, your reaction to it, and also other odds and ends, including what possibly happened in that flight that took the lives of so many top Polish officials, including the president of Poland, whose body was just returned home as the nation mourns. The big question is, what brought this plane down? And a lot of people are having a field day with this one, trying to figure out, there was issues with the currency, so maybe this is it, what had been happening with Russia. But the government itself just moved quickly to kind of be on course after losing so many, not just political leaders, but military guys and religious leaders too, in that crash that just completely shocked the country. So with this, I mean, this is pretty dark, and especially in the area where the plane came down, it was a part of the forest where Stalin's secret police back in the 40s really systematically got rid of thousands of Polish officers in the Western Soviet Union. I mean, countless numbers, countless. So the president and those on the Soviet-built plane, boy, isn't this set up for a controversy or a conspiracy, had been headed there to honor those people. The analysis so far, at least what officially is out there, is the plane was working fine. There was no problems with the plane, even though it was older. And, it's a question as what it was. Was there more to this? Because if you remember, President Medvedev also immediately tried to react to cover their bases, I'm just saying, declaring it a day of mourning in Russia. And they had 2 minutes of silence for those killed in the crash. And looking at Poland, it's a democracy, really. They got their constitution, in the late 97, 98, maybe, after all of those years of communism. So will the tragedy threaten the state in any way? Because you've got the Army Chief of Staff, the Navy Chief Commander, the heads of the air and land forces, all these people died, all of them taken out with the plane. And also the money guys, the National Bank president, the deputy foreign minister, the army chaplain even, the head of the National Security Office. I mean, anybody who was anyone in this government was on that plane. So they're waiting to see what happens. I mean, the bank's monetary, what they call the policy council, is going to hold a meeting, as they were going to do anyway, and move from there. What's curious is this president was looking for a second term, but he was going to have some kind of a uphill battle against his governing party, the more moderate pro-business group. And the fact that they were having this policy meeting is what's intriguing. And with no technical problem reported, I can see why it gives rise to a couple of questions. And what is eerily similar is, and this is where they were headed, but it's the fact that they went down in that field. So Vladimir Putin is saying, look, we're going to we're gonna look for the black box. We're gonna do whatever we can. And there was didn't seem that there was any kind of technical problem. We'll do whatever we have to help in this investigation. And they say that the pilot was warned about the weather conditions and that the visibility was limited. So, I don't know. Anybody got any theories on this one? I have a few, especially the money issue. That was big. So we move from the potential of a powder keg of why, other than if it was just pilot error, and perhaps it just does boil down to that, but it sets up pretty mysterious. We move from that to no mystery here. What for sure is taking place in Monday is this meeting of world leaders, 47 in fact, to talk about nukes, to talk about nuclear strategy, particularly when it comes to Iran. And while everybody is meeting in Washington, Ahmadinejad is going to complain about the president's nuclear threat. Focusing, though, just on D.C., you've got no Benjamin Netanyahu, and you've got a slew of other folks from all kinds of countries that are going to be there. But the fact that they're there, it reminds me in a different way of what happened in Copenhagen. You know, lots of big headlines and a whole lot of bluster, but nothing really to it. And these are two different types of worlds that we're talking about, green versus nukes. But I, you know, call me cynical, I just really don't believe at the end of the day, after 2 days of conversation, that anything seriously of significance comes out of this. Some people think, look, it's great that this president wants to get rid of the nukes. He wants to get rid of it. So let's get that threat out of there for the future of our country and the future of our children. And that's exactly why I'd say you can't be too naive to trust throwing down the nukes that everybody else really in reality is going to do that. And ultimately, all it takes is one baby and you have nothing to go back on if you've completely gotten rid of your nuclear capabilities. And here's what it all boils down to, folks. You and I both know. What really do we think is the biggest threat? The biggest threat is the elusive threat, and the elusive threat is terrorism. How do you 100% get rid of terrorism? How do you 95% get rid of terrorism? And there isn't an answer to that question is what the answer is. There is no answer to that. So the future, what the future holds is ultimately what is happening with Al-Qaeda and training camps and perhaps Taliban, Hamas, other groups that have the radical edge. Al-Qaeda might be the most, but there are other spin-offs of Al-Qaeda that we certainly know of and know could be just as dangerous. So to me, therein lies why you cannot completely walk away from the nuclear game. Isn't just the possibility of it keeping some at bay, or is that old world thinking and oh so 80s? 800-259-5791. You can share yours in just a few.
How would you like to own a pair of the most unique gloves in the world? Call right now at 877-552-5206. The only glove that improves your grip and is so touch sensitive it feels like you have nothing on. Call right now at 877-552-5206. MaxFit Gloves by O'Neill Innovations introduces a new scientific breakthrough on thin glove technology with a glove that is so unique, we are offering this limited radio promotion a $40 value for four pairs of the famous Max Fit gloves for only $19.95. That's right, four pairs of Max Fit gloves, but you gotta act right now. 877-552-5206. For more information, go to maxfitgloves.com. That's MAXFITgloves.com. Or call right now at 877-552-5206. For this limited radio promotion.
Wow. Jim Newcomer with Midas Resources, talking today about change. Not the change we were promised by President Obama, but the reality that we must face in these changing economic times. With our national debt currently exceeding $12.5 trillion and our unfunded liabilities totaling over $107 trillion, the value of the U.S. dollar continues its slide into oblivion. There's still time to ensure your financial security with precious metals, but you need to act today. Call me, Jim Newcomer, at 800-686-2237, extension 104, and we can explore how Midas Resources can help you secure your financial future. With our government continuing to find new ways to spend our money at the expense of our children and grandchildren, there's still time to acquire a true hedge against inflation with precious metals. Call me, Jim Newcomer, at 800-686-2237, extension 104, and we'll discuss how you can take physical possession or convert your IRA into precious metals before it's too late. 800-686-2237, extension 104, and make the commitment today to retain the security you worked a lifetime to establish.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Get beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised you never thought before that you're lovely and you're perfect and that somebody wants you.
So high stakes at the nuclear summit. Our president hoping that this big gathering of 47 world leaders hosted here in the U.S. for the first time in 1940, I think it was, in the 46 decades anyway, that this would be the way to stop the threats, to knock down the threats. There are plenty on the Hill who don't agree with what's being proposed as far as the nuclear treaty, the weapons reduction treaty that was struck up between our government and Russia, is in danger of really not going anywhere. It's funny because on Thursday I remember talking about many of the people on the Hill saying that, well, there's a few things that might be tweaked, but this should not be a problem whatsoever. Now you have two top senators saying, whoa, this whole ratification process, hang on here. The chance that this is going to just go through with a hop, skip, and a jump, there's a few people that, you know, this is a government with three branches. There's a few people who don't like it, like Senator Joe Lieberman, who thinks that it may have to change in order for the Russian treaty to clear the Senate. They've got to change a few things, like that our nuclear warheads are modern and capable. And, you know, there's reason to think that, because without any testing, and that was the whole thing, oh, we're not going to test. So you'd have to modernize, he's right, whatever that stockpile is. It's because it's sitting there in the mothballs doesn't mean it works. And Lieberman doesn't think that there's going to be enough votes to ratify the START treaty even. He doesn't think that's going to happen. Then you have guys like Senator Lamar Alexander, and he says that the policy just flat out is something to worry about, that the whole ambiguity about using the nuclear power, that having that threat in your bag of tricks would be gone. So, and even went on to say that there wasn't really much of a chance that the Russia treaty would be approved this year, saying, hey, this is something for next year, because we've got the economy and national debt and other things that we're worried about. We have other fish to fry, so that's just going to have to sit there. So that's the other part of this. There's this big nuclear summit, but yet this treaty hasn't even gone through with Russia. But it was a big show to kind of signal to the other countries, hey, look what we're doing. You know, you can do the same thing. There's no reason to continue on with this approach. And if I could look in a crystal ball and say, oh, you know what? This is the right move because we're going to be completely safe. I think Lieberman's point is well taken. You don't know the weapons. We're saying we're not going to test them. You have to know that at least it works. And don't you have to have that threat out there based on, if nothing else, all the others around you? I mean, the world is a pretty big place. In some corners, it's nasty. Nasty enough that they think nothing of cutting off our heads on video and putting it up on a website for all the world to see. A bomb, a nuclear bomb, imagine the stage you would have with that. I'm just saying. Better make sure, like Lieberman says, that at least some of them work. Because if you walk away and they don't, that spells a disaster to me, or potential disaster for the U.S., as we'd be massively, massively, massively exposed. Let's see what happens here, because there's resistance on the Hill to it. Doesn't look like the START treaty goes even through. What happens at this nuclear summit? Does anything really come out of it that's got the teeth that I keep talking about? Speaking of teeth, there's a big, big battle brewing in the South, but particularly Mississippi. The Mississippi governor, Haley Barbour, is defending fellow Governor Bob McDonnell for his decision to declare April Confederate History Month in Virginia, without initially acknowledging the whole horrible legacy of slavery, saying that the controversy doesn't amount to anything. And he said this, he's on one of the Sunday shows, as so many of the politicians are wont to do. And that became part of the topic as to, you know, I'm defending this guy for this Confederate History Month. And sure, when he first came out, he didn't say anything about slavery, but the Virginia governor took massive heat from a slew of people, including the president and the former governor and others, and had to apologize, acknowledging that it was a major omission, and added added in a paragraph condemning slavery. So that sort of helped, I guess, with the tension. And I think he was confused about what he had done. And he said, you know, I wasn't even going in that. That wasn't where he was going. That wasn't his direction. I mean, Barbour is a Republican. And he said his state for a long time has had a Confederate Memorial Day under the leadership of both Republicans and plenty of Democrats, and they've never said anything. They've supported it, and they haven't been criticized for supporting it. So he didn't understand where all the flack came from, but there was a big flack over that. And then the question started to become, the Civil War reenactments. Is it fair or foul to constantly do these Civil War reenactments? I had a friend, her name was Stacy Rogers, a few years ago from Mississippi, from, I want to say, I don't know that it was Jackson, but in Mississippi, grew up there, and she'd say I said, you know, the South will never rise again. Jokingly, we used to say that to her, and she'd say, well, every weekend it does, and every weekend we win. And in fact, they had a hard time coming up with people to play the other side, to play the Union soldiers. They had mostly Confederates. So I would say this, the governor of Virginia, when he said what he said, was not thinking in terms of, he wasn't even thinking in terms of slaves or any of that, anything like that. I truly believe it. He tripped into it and then ignited a firestorm around him for saying it and came out and apologized right away. But it brings up that whole Confederate argument again as to now even reenactments. Should we have reenactments? And yes. If you can have Star Trek conventions, then you can have battle reenactments, whatever floats your boat. And I don't think it's the reenactments are meant in any kind of a disrespectful way. You may disagree with my take on it. Matt, have you ever been a soldier in one of the reenactments?
The Civil War?
You know, they do all those Civil War reenactments all over. They do them other places in the country, not just the South.
I don't think it's that big here in the Midwest.
You don't think so?
I have never heard of anything.
No, 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 no. You'd be the bugle guy.
I don't know.
Playing taps. I think it's a lot of work, frankly, to do the reenactments.
It sounds like it, and you always know who's going to win.
But the Confederates win in a lot of the places. That's what I'm saying, which is, yeah, normally, sure, the way it went down in history, the Union guys won. I can tell you this, growing up in Philadelphia, the Union guys win in Philadelphia. And they do battlefield reenactments, like at Valley Forge, and it is the Union guys if they do that. Unless somehow it's suddenly switched. And coming from a city with a lot of history, you know, you'll see Ben Franklin walking around, there's Betsy Ross's house and all that kind of stuff. But there is no Confederate flags flying, but wasn't a Confederate area. At one point, that was the capital, if you remember, Philadelphia, New York, and then ultimately Washington. So I understand the sensitivities, but I would say in the case of I'm glad the Mississippi governor came out and helped him there. Because I would say that was some kind of an oversight on his part. He certainly did not mean to do it. Hang through, everybody.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain, except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Dooble will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. That's doobleshoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sarah Atkins, inventor of Better Than Rocks, the one-of-a-kind solution to planter drainage. A few years ago, I searched for a lightweight product to put in the bottom of my containers to help with drainage. I found there was nothing on the market, so I decided to develop something myself. The result is Better Than Rocks. It keeps soil in, lets excess water out, and helps oxygen reach the plant's roots by creating an air pocket in the bottom of the planter. This helps the plant absorb nutrients, which is necessary to grow healthy plants. Better Than Rocks is practically weightless, so your containers will be lighter. And it's made of 100% recycled plastic right here in North America. You can reuse it year after year, so it should never end up in a landfill.
I discovered Better Than Rocks last year, and I was happy to find my plants were much healthier, fuller, and the containers were easy to move around.
Ask for Better Than Rocks at your favorite garden center, or visit
betterthanrocks.com.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me, and I will.
Kate, hanging out with all of you in every nook and cranny across America. Welcome to yet another week in April. I don't know where the time goes, but here we are. Sitting on the second week in April, man, I'm still back in March. I don't know about the rest of you. Coming up on Odds and Ends, we're going to dive into this, give you the follow-up, sadly, of the miners and what people are talking about in West Virginia. Last week, we had a great conversation with, if you can have a great conversation over this, with Homer Hickam, who grew up in coal mining territory, a stone's throw away from that town. Gave the eulogy at the Sago mine after the Sago mine disaster in 2006, and of course went on to write a couple of different books about it. The Red Helm, and even started a foundation for the kids of the families who were killed in the Sago disaster and other things that have happened to miners, so that they have some kind of a future. And we talked at length why would somebody go under the ground, and you know what's in the minds of the people who do that for a living. And there's generations after generations, and they make really, really good money and are aware of the dangers. But because of the Sago incident, I think certainly in West Virginia, a lot of people were feeling as though, even though there were citations and rumors about the lack of safety concerns, especially with the ventilation, but I think a lot of the people there were feeling a little bit more secure, sadly, because of what happened with Sago and the fact that there were stricter regulations, but not to be. So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, the nuclear question that we've been talking about. And my thought is, the scary thing to me is, I mean, hey, if you could get rid of all nukes across the board and be guaranteed that every nuke is gone, or, you know, half of the stockpile is gone, but that'd just be naive. And we know that's not a possibility. So now with this summit coming on, Obama is pushing the non-nuclear pledge to 40-plus world leaders. And as I said, we know Al-Qaeda would use the nuke if it could. So pose to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. She was on with Jake Tapper on ABC News. They did an interview with her, and also part of the Sunday Swirl, also with Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say, particularly on the question of Iran and all this posturing with Iran. And, I mean, really, is it working? And how most people feel the situation is with Ahmadinejad. She thinks it was a very, very positive week when all this was discussed last week.
It has been a very positive week for American foreign policy, and particularly with respect to our nuclear posture. When it comes to Iran, we take everything they say with more than a grain of salt, because we know that they have a tendency to say things that may or may not be carried out, may or may not be accurate. But in fact, their belligerence is helping to make our case every single day. Countries that might have had doubts about Iranian intentions, who might have even questioned whether Iran was seeking nuclear weapons, are having those doubts dispelled as much by the evidence we present as by what comes out of the leadership of Iran.
All right, so this is kind of a tit-for-tat deal, and let's get everybody else on board, pretty much, if you want to cut through the rhetoric of that. And, you know, hey, they being the rest of the world, has to cut out the legs of Ahmadinejad, you know, take it out from underneath him is the only way, truly. So Obama is saying, let's get rid of nuclear weapons. Let's do this. But you run up against the reality that I said. You got 47 countries who are trying to come up with an agreement on keeping nuclear weapons out of terrorist hands. There's no question, no question, somebody connected to Al-Qaeda or any form of Al-Qaeda, Taliban would use a nuke. Yeah, absolutely. So these are pretty big strategies that they're talking about. But what will emerge from the two-day gathering that starts on Monday? I mean, you got all these world leaders. You got this big deal, global focus, the most serious thing, nuclear proliferation. Nobody wants to be blown up by a mushroom cloud. So you have a world where you have terrorist organizations that could get nuclear materials. Iran's perceived, at least, and I think for sure they're doing it, their attempt to build a nuclear weapon violates the Global Nuclear Proliferation Treaty anyway. And then you have North Korea. Let's not forget about North Korea and Kim Jong-il and nuclear weapons and the stockpiling of those weapons and exporting nuclear stuff, the material, and all the technology. So it's not just Ahmadinejad. You also have the other side of Korea to be concerned about. Will this two-day meeting in what would be the biggest gathering of leaders hosted by an American president, by the way, since 1945, will anything of serious substance come out of this? And what I think the push should be, no question after the 2 days, a definite in-writing resolution that does something as far as sanctions are concerned against Tehran, serious sanctions that would be much more crippling to them and make Ahmadinejad have to pay attention. Israel last week upset the apple cart by saying that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, wouldn't go to the conference because he was planning to do that. And he apparently, there was more to the story than he's upset with Obama and the U.S. and what some of the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. apparently he's also worried about Turkey and Egypt and the fact that they might use that moment to challenge him over his own pile of nukes, which they never have said they have. So there will be a representative, but it's going to be the deputy prime minister, not Netanyahu himself. You've got Jordan, you've got China, Armenia, Malaysia, all those countries are going to be in, they're in D.C. now, but they'll all be there for that conference. So this is the fourth of Obama's campaign promises, if you're keeping score, to get rid of nuclear weapons. To get rid of nuclear weapons, which we all know this, only used how many times? Well, not in testing, but only once by the United States, and that was, of course, World War II, forcing the Japanese to surrender. But the question is, with all of these people in town, what comes out of this meeting? A lot of handshaking, photo ops, conversation, or something serious? Can something serious come out of this that, as an American, you and I feel good about with what's being proposed on the table? 800-259-5791. All right, so I said odds and ends in the follow-up to the miners. I got a lot of email from across the country about, well, what's going on? Remember when you left the air, there was four miners and the remote possibility, perhaps, that would be found alive. We knew it was very, very tiny, the possibility, because of how long it took to get in there, for one, and also what happened. So the churches all over West Virginia were filled to the brim. Not that they might not have been, but they really were, because it was, there was a big memorial, especially in the town in West Virginia, and in Pettus, right by there, where they actually had the memorial for the 29 guys. And this was the worst U.S. mining disaster, because if you add the others, you're talking 28 people dead, 28, 29 people dead as a result of that. So that's the worst mining disaster since 1970. And, you know, you had most of them killed, the workers killed on Monday, and then just the reality that it's too late to go in and get the other guys. And then the other part of it, the fact that there were so many violations that were leveled at Massey Energy at that upper Big Branch mine in Mount Cole. And, you know, there were people, I saw video of this, where people, of course, crying and, you know, worshiping and gathering outside of the church. And, boy, very, very tough, I would say, for the people there. They know that the mountain is their friend, that this is how they make their living. They know the dangers of it, but not expecting when they had that crew shift, when they had the shift, for that to happen. And some of the people who were in the mine have been found. Their bodies have been found, and they have been laid to rest, but they're still working to get the bodies of the others who didn't make it out. And doing that, they need to drill a hole to vent the mine, which they've been doing. So they could only have a handful of funerals, and they're waiting, and they're going to have these funerals as soon as they can get to the bodies, to be frank, of the guys. And now you've got the feds all over this as of Monday, trying to figure out what caused this explosion. And I already mentioned this, Massey had a slew of safety violations at the mine. You got the CEO, of course, what's he going to do? He's going to defend the company and saying, you know, that no, they never put profits ahead of safety, but that doesn't seem so when you look at some of the things that they were being nailed for. Coming up, we have Weekend Count here on America Tonight.
Mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard.
Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org, and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Or go to greenpasture.org today.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yes, indeed, time for another edition of Week in Count here on ATN. Oh, check this one out. From London, Britain's Transplant Authority is saying that they're investigating a bunch of errors in their organ donor list that goes back about a decade, several hundred thousand errors. Wow, who's minding the store? And this is a pretty important store. So the National, specifically, it's the National Health Service Blood and Transportation Organization there. They say a proportion of their 14 million strong, say that it's pretty good, organ donor list was affected by technical mishaps since 99. And as a result, a very small group of people may have had organs removed without proper authorization. Ooh, that's not good. So it meant that people who wanted to donate organs like their lungs, let's say, or their skin were incorrectly identified as people who wanted to donate their corneas or their heart. The glitch actually hit the number I said, 800,000 people, 45 of whom have died and donated organs. And they're not disputing that the organization, not disputing it, and they're not confirming anything. They're, I think, just humiliated, and they're not, the lawyers are saying, oh, don't say anything, be quiet. So the investigation is going on, and other than getting anonymous statements from people. There's not much to prove it, but it's obvious that there's some screw-ups in the technology. But boy, doesn't that raise questions that we have here in the U.S. when there's mess-ups like that? How can the government handle any of the citizens' information? I mean, look, they already misplaced, this is in the U.K., they misplaced information on 3 million driving test candidates, 600,000 army applicants, and 5,000 prison officers over the last couple of years. So they obviously have a problem counting in the UK. And it's not actually funny. Imagine taking the wrong organs and then mix that in there with all the other screw-ups, and that's a disaster. And for transplant people, that would make them nervous because it's such an important thing, and you need people wanting to give up their organs if you're going to have some success with this. And if there's glitches and problems, that doesn't make people feel comfortable about doing it. I'm just saying. Okay, so earthquakes. It's crazy. We're like in the earthquake world now. A magnitude 6.2 smashed into southern Spain on Monday. That's about 15 miles to the southeast of a very cool city, the city of Granada. The quake happened at a depth, they say, of about 382 miles near the Sierra Nevada mountain range. Ooh. So 6.2 hitting that city. And then in the meantime, the other one is the one that also 4.4 that hit San Diego. A little bit shaky in some areas, but nothing like the 7.1 quake that shook up the Solomon Islands. You know, they might be used to it there, that's a possibility. They live with that based on the geography of where they are. But the amount of shakes that we're seeing, I wonder what that's doing to the plates in some of those areas. And are we seeing a weird shift happen? And the answer to that is, from what I've read, there does seem to be some of that, but we're going to get somebody on to talk more in depth about it. Somebody who knows what's happening with when you put it all together and you add up all these things that we've seen, some of them disastrous, some high numbers, but not quite as disastrous. And the tsunami wasn't expected in this last one, but the U.S. Geological Survey is saying the 7.1 magnitude quake hit on Sunday night, and the epicenter was about 130 miles southeast of the capital, Hanari, in the Pacific Ocean. So the Tsunami Warning Center weren't worried about a wave. And the islands there, it's a country of about 1,000 islands in the Pacific Ocean. And like I said, this is something that they live with. But I don't know, might be time to pack up and move. Go to a different area. I like the island life, but perhaps I can live on one where it's not quite as risky. Oh, it was so exciting to see this. I was at the hospital, spent a chunk of the day at the hospital. But one of the bright spots was watching Phil Mickelson winning his third Masters title, third green jacket. And the deal is that Phil Mickelson's wife, Amy, and his mother both were diagnosed with breast cancer. And you could see the emotion on this guy's face. I mean, he's a competitor. He's known for being a little bit risky. And it used to be, ooh, Phil might blow it. But he had the lead. He had a three-shot lead going into the 18th. And he had one last birdie. So he ended up protecting the three-shot lead. And there was his wife who spent, apparently, according to what the broadcast was saying, most of the week in bed, made it to the green, and she was there, and his three kids were there to see him with this very, very, very big win. Tiger Woods. Everybody was talking about Tiger Woods. He returns from that huge sex scandal, which certainly slammed his image, but his game was okay. The crowds clapped for him, paid attention to him. He was in contention, but didn't pull it off. He ended up tied for fourth. Still, I think it wasn't the Tiger who wants to win everything, but amazing that he, I shouldn't say amazing because his golf game is intact, But still, he comes back and he ends up with a tie for fourth with KJ Choi, which was big. And then Fred Couples, who is 50 years old, came in sixth. That was also a very, very big, big storyline. Did you see any of this, Matt? I'm sure you just kind of saw little bits and pieces, but it's pretty cool. Lefty wins. It's pretty emotional. His wife battling cancer, and that's got to be tough.
Yeah, definitely. I watched some of it. I was watching kind of the Twins game, too, and some other things, but I saw the end of the Masters for sure. And I don't know. I thought one of the incredible things was how Anthony Kim came back and shot 7 under.
Yes.
Out of nowhere. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, and he's a Texas kid. I've talked to people about Anthony Kim before, and he had an amazing performance. So there were other storylines for sure from the Masters, but it was good to see Phil come out. And you know, no offense to Tiger Woods, but I wasn't necessarily cheering for Tiger Woods. And what people wanted to know is, is he going to start playing on the tour or not? And he was asked about that, and he said he was going to take some more time off and assess and whatever, because he knew, and certainly the people around him knew, at the Masters, other than some nasty overhead banners that were pulled on the back of a plane, nobody was going to mess with him. But out on the tour in other cities, would be much more vulnerable. So he decides he's not, going to announce, I'm going to be at this tournament or that tournament. It was, here's the Masters, and he comes in tied for fourth and goes away. And there's lots of conversation about Tiger Woods' game, but that's it. That's it for now, and he's not giving you anything else based on, where could he possibly play in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, who knows? Maybe he doesn't play anything. Can you imagine, somebody said this to me, what if he just doesn't play anything but the majors? So he just plays all the major tournaments because he would be eligible to do that, and so what? He doesn't go for the points or the end-of-the-year deal, or he doesn't worry about any of that. That could be what ends up happening if he felt like he was getting squeezed too much. Speaking of getting squeezed, here's our last one on We Can Count. The cost of gas is up nearly 4 cents in the last 3 weeks. 4 cents, you say, well, that's hardly noticeable. I think people are starting to notice because, when you cruise around looking for the best deal you can get, it can be up to 20 to 25 cents different. In my neck of the woods, I don't know about yours, the average price for a gallon of gas in the U.S. rose $3.79 to $2.85 in the past 3 weeks. And I think it'll probably just go up from there if you think we're starting to get into eventually those summer holidays. And that's usually when gas is raised in the first place, right before and after Memorial Day weekend. Have any thoughts about the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.